Sound the trump in Zion. Raise the alarm on my holy mountain. Let everyone tremble in fear, because the day of the Lord is upon us. It is a day of darkness and gloom, a day of thick clouds and deep blackness. But suddenly, like dawn spreading across the mountains, a great and mighty army appears. Nothing like it has been seen before or will ever be seen again. Fire burns in front of them, and flames follow after them. Ahead of them lies the land, as beautiful as the Garden of Eden. Behind them is nothing but desolation. Not one thing escapes. They look like horses. They charge forward like war horses. Look at them as they leap along the mountaintops. Listen to the noise they make, like the rumbling of chariots, like the roar of fire sweeping across a field of stubble, or like a mighty army moving into battle. Fear grips all the people. Every face grows pale with terror. The attackers march like warriors and scale city walls like soldiers. Straight forward they march, never breaking rank. They never jostle each other. Each moves in exactly the right position. They break through the defenses without missing a step. They swarm over the city and run along its walls. They enter all the houses, climbing like thieves through the windows. The earth quakes as they advance, and the heavens tremble. The sun and moon grow dark, and the stars no longer shine. The Lord is at the head of the column. He leads them with a shout. This is His mighty army, and they follow His orders. Hey there, Patriots. I hope you guys are having a great day. We are on our last study of End Times Major Clues from Minor Prophets. Today we're doing the third one on Isaiah. I know you guys have loved Isaiah. One day, maybe I'll do the whole book on Isaiah because it's just so great. But what we're doing now is just doing the good stuff at the end. Isaiah was telling us about what was going to happen when the people, were in trouble because of the evil that they were doing in Baal worship in the northern tribes of Israel, and that they had to be cast out. But then at the end, the Lord is restoring us. And that's what we're studying today. The last 3 weeks we've been doing Isaiah chapters like 45, and then we did 60, and then on, and we're going to go through the last chapter of Isaiah. So we're getting the good stuff about how the beautiful promises the Lord made to us, that we're going to have beautiful, amazing days that we can hardly even imagine. I'm so thankful that He put this down in His Word for us. If you're new here, I'm Melissa Red Pill. And so we look at the current events in the light of God's Word. What we're experiencing is literally biblical. This is my website right here, melissaredpill.com. Check out my videos, tons of videos. Also, I've got books, bestseller books on end times, and you can find out the wonderful truth about end times. Don't forget to hit the like button right now. Hit the like button right now and hit the share and subscribe. Always make sure your bell is rung so you can hear all the good news we have to share. Now, This is the table of contents. Like I said, we're on chapter 15 on Isaiah. That's actually a major prophet, but that's okay. We're just going to have a little bit about the major prophet Isaiah in this book. And so now we're on this last chapters. And so last week we did Isaiah 62. And so today we're starting with Isaiah 63. This is the Lord coming on a rampage to destroy the evildoers. I'm going to look at it in the BibleGateway.com. And so we're going to pray and we're going to get started. And this one is going to be pretty intense. So buckle up and get ready for that one. Thank you so much, Lord, for all that you have done to show us in your word, and that you have revealed it to us in this day for us, the warriors in this day who are in here fighting the Battle of Armageddon. And I just praise you and thank you that you have purchased all this for us, Lord, that you have made these promises. They're bold promises as we were reading, but you are certainly able to fulfill all the promises that you have made so that we can enter into this golden age, and that we will look for our enemies and we will not be able to find them. Thank you, Lord, that you have blessed us to participate, and we're now citizens of your kingdom. Your kingdom come, and your will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. Be with us now as we study and we open your word. I pray you just bless our hearts to receive all you have for us. We pray this in your wonderful name, Jesus. Amen. All right, this is Isaiah chapter 63. Who is this? Who comes from Edom, from the city of Bozrah, the capital city of Edom, who with his clothing stained red? Who is this in royal robes marching in his great strength? Who is this? This is the Lord himself. He's coming from Edom because he's been destroying our enemies. He's coming from the city of Bozrah, the capital city. Edom is basically, you know, you think of Jerusalem as the city of peace and God's people, right? That's symbolically what it is. And then Edom is the city of evil. Okay, so it's a way to say it instead of saying the city of evil, right? And Edom comes from Esau, the evil twin brother of Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel. And so Edom is the all the descendants of Esau. And it's not about bloodlines; it's about that they represent this evil empire, the globalist cabal. Okay, you could call them Edom. And so he's going to destroy this evil empire. That's all there is to it. And so his clothing is stained red because it's the blood of our enemies. That's what it is. I told you to buckle up. Were you buckled? Who is this in royal robes marching in his great strength? Of course, it's our Lord. He is, he came the first time as a lamb, and he's coming this time as a lion. Actually, in the heavens, there's a beautiful sign in the heavens called Taurus the Bull. He comes on a rampage to destroy the evildoers. So that's what we are experiencing. It is I, the Lord, announcing your salvation. I'm coming to rescue you. In other words, I'm saving you. It's I, the Lord, who has the power to save. That's what's amazing, is he alone has the power to do this. We've been studying the history, and nobody has had the ability to do it until our Lord Jesus. That's what's amazing. Why are your clothes so red, as if you've been treading out grapes? You know, if you tread out grapes, you stamp on them and stamp on them, and I'm sure it gets on your clothing, and it stains them. Well, he says it's the blood of your enemies. I've been treading the wine press alone. No one was there to help me. In my anger, I have trampled my enemies as if they were grapes. In my fury, I've trampled my foes. Their blood has stained my clothes. This is our Lord. This is our Lord destroying them. You know, I was just hearing, they were saying, oh, we didn't think that, you know, President Trump didn't do anything to Comey and all the rest of them during the first term. We did figure he would just let it go. No. No, we're not. Everyone's going to be punished for their crimes against our country, crimes against humanity, and if it's treason, it's going to be bad. That's what it is. That's what it is. It's very serious. So, for the time has come. The time has come. The time has come. Praise the Lord. Actually, today or yesterday, Russ Boat put a post out saying it's time. I know he was talking about it's time for the filibuster to be removed, but really, I wonder if it's more. I wonder if he's saying it's time that that he's completed his job of cleaning out the financial mess. Maybe. How about it's time to avenge us on our enemies? How about that? How about time for that? To ransom them from their captors, from their oppressors. We've been under their boot, and now we're being ransomed. We're being redeemed. We're being rescued. We're being brought out of this captivity from our oppressors. I was amazed to see that no one intervened to help the oppressed. So I myself stepped in to save them with my strong arm, and my wrath sustained me. How about that? Let me read it to you in this. I think this is the Message version over here. Yeah, this is the Message version. Listen to what it says. The blood spurted all over me. All my clothes were soaked in blood. Look, angrily, I stomped the grapes. Raging, I trampled the people. Their blood spurted all over me. All my clothes were soaked with blood. I was set on vengeance. This is the Lord Jesus. The time for redemption had arrived. I looked around for someone to help, and no one. I couldn't believe it. Not one volunteer. So I went ahead and did it myself, fed and fueled by my rage. Rage at the evil that they have done. And when you think about what they've done to the children, we are all in a rage over this. What they've done to Gaza, we're in a rage. And anybody who says, oh, well, they're evil. No, you cannot say that a three-year-old, you know, with a building falling on them is justified. No, no, it's not. These people have not done anything. And some of these are, you know, Christians, Muslims, anything. You cannot say that. This is against the Geneva Conventions and all this. And we're filled with rage that they would do this indiscriminately killing and genocide against humanity. And so we can understand this, fueled by rage. I trampled the people in my anger, crushed them underfoot in my wrath, soaked the earth with their lifeblood. How about that? How you like that for Isaiah chapter 63? This is our Lord coming on a rampage to destroy the evildoers. I crushed the nations in my anger. Verse 6, I made them stagger and fall to the ground, spilling their blood upon the earth. Thank you, Lord, that you are coming with vengeance to destroy our enemies. Thank you. Praise the Lord that he is able to do this and save us from our enemies. There's a verse that our Lord Jesus said. He says, only the stronger man can bind the strong man. Of course, the strong man is Satan himself. Only our Lord Jesus is able to bind the strong man. He alone is able to do this. And so, you know, we're in here helping, but really, he alone can do this. You know, and it says not one volunteer, but I mean, we're trying to help and we're doing, you know, what he's called us to do, but only he can do this. Only he can save humanity. So that's what it is. Only he can save humanity. Only he could die on the cross. Only he can truly rescue us. The Bible says that they'll be rescued, but not by human hand. This is the Lord alone can rescue humanity. I think it's Daniel chapter 7. All right, so now let's do Isaiah chapter 64. Okay, we have to answer the question. This very graphic imagery, what is he doing? He's pouring out vengeance on our enemies. He's destroying our enemies. Praise the Lord. All right, so now the next one. He's trampling them, the family of Esau, the twin brother and sworn enemy of Israel, the sworn enemy of God's people. Many of these have taken the name of the Lord in vain. He will avenge us. He will crush them and cause them to fall and spill their blood on the earth. That's what he's doing. Now, this next passage is a prayer from Isaiah for the Lord to do what? This is Isaiah 64, 1 through 3. And I remember standing out in my yard, and I'm watching the sign of the Son of Man, and I'm watching, and I knew that this was a sign from the Lord in the heavens. I knew this was the sign. If you're not familiar with this sign, this is on my page, Melissa Redpill. Just scroll down, and you will see this beautiful sign in the heavens. And I'm watching as Jupiter enters into the, quote, womb, and it does a gestation period of a loop for 42 weeks. And I'm thinking, Lord, what is this? What am I looking at here? And I was praying, basically, this prayer right here in Isaiah chapter 64. Oh, that you would burst from the heavens and come down. I was already at my wit's end back in the day. This is before 17 started posting. And I was just like, Lord, this is just so evil. And this is before I knew even the half of it, of all the evil that had been done. This is before I knew any of it, really. But I was just like so ready for this for the Lord to rescue humanity, because I knew it was we had problems up to here. I just didn't know it was over the roof. Oh, that you would burst from the heavens and come down, how the mountains would quake in your presence. As fire causes wood to burn and water to boil, your coming would make the nations tremble, the evildoers tremble. Then your enemies would learn the reason for your fame. When you came down long ago, you did awesome deeds beyond our highest expectations. And oh, how the mountains quaked. For since, okay, so that I think that, yeah, that's through verse 3, that's what our question is, what is he asking the Lord to do? To come and rescue humanity, to burst through the heavens and come and save humanity. Of course, he did, on his first advent, he did do the huge work on the cross to have our sins forgiven. which had to happen first, that our sins are forgiven because of his blood on the cross. And back before that, they would have the animal sacrifices, and that was a picture of the Lamb of God that would come. And so he completed and accomplished that work. So our sins are forgiven and washed away in his blood. Now it's a matter of having the earth filled with his people, and so that he will have... he will destroy the enemies. We will work alongside him in this battle of Armageddon, and he will destroy our enemies. Just like I was reading in Isaiah 63, he's got the blood of his enemies, our enemies, on his robe. And so this is what he's basically asking him to do, is to come down and destroy the enemies, cause them to tremble, because they've been getting away with all these evil things and running roughshod over all of humanity for so long. And so we want him to come down, and they'll quake, they'll shake in their boots. And so that's what he's asking him to do. When you came down long ago, you did awesome deeds beyond our highest expectations. Oh, how the mountains quake the powerful. When he talks about mountains, a lot of times it's talking about the powerful ones, and the ones it will cause them to quake. Just like you think of like Pharaoh, it caused Pharaoh to quake when the Lord sent the plagues on Egypt. Okay, so this is the prayer for the Lord to come down and destroy the enemies. Now, the next one is Isaiah 65. And so this is the one starting in verse 11, going through 16. It says, it has fierce words of judgment from the Lord to the wicked. So the end of Isaiah is, yes, it's talking about the wonderful future that we have. We just read about that in our videos from last time. But these portions are really talking about the Lord bringing down judgment on the wicked. We need both. We can have this wonderful peace on earth if the enemy is gone, if all these demon worshipers are gone. Okay? See, it's fierce words of judgment from the Lord to the wicked, to the demon worshipers. What is he saying to them? All right, you ready? So, that because the rest of you have forsaken the Lord and have forgotten his temple, and because you have prepared feasts to honor the god of fate and have offered mixed wine to the god of destiny, now I will destine you for the sword. All right, so they worship these false gods. They worship demons, really. It's really not a false god. I mean, they're all false gods, but really, it's to make it simple, they're worshiping demons and taking in demons, basically having, quote, intercourse with the demons to have them come and dwell within them and to get their demonic power to become rich and powerful and all that. But mainly, you know, that they'll do their bidding. And that's the deal that they've made when they sold their soul, basically. Okay. It's because you've done that, because you've worshiped these false gods, you've joined in league with demons, literally. Okay, this is Isaiah 65, the next to the last chapter in the book of Isaiah. And now the Lord says, you're doing this. Now I'll destine you for the sword. All of you will bow down before the executioner. How about that? These people are pure evil. They did this knowingly. 17 has made it very clear. These are the ones who have done this knowingly. They will be held to an account for what they've done knowingly. This is not for people who were brainwashed, duped into things. Now, yes, these people were fooled into doing something, joining in league with demons. I'm talking about the people who've just been, you know, are like a patsy, and they didn't know what they were doing. They were just used by them. The Lord is not angry with them. He's angry with the ones who knowingly did this. That's the issue. And so then these are the ones he will destine for the sword. All of you will bow down before the executioner. And that's not even the worst of it. Those, they will go to be with the devil and his angels, the fallen angels. They made that deal. That's the deal they get. That's what they wanted. Now, the Lord has told us in the book of Revelation, and this is in my book, End Times and the Thousand Years of Peace, that it's said to come out from among her and so that they can be saved. And some people did. A few of them did. Not many, but a few of them, from what I can tell, a few of them did come out of this and say, I'm turning state's evidence. I'm giving all the information. I want, you know, it's at one point there were deals that were being made at the beginning. way back in 2017, 2018, but not anymore. If they, you know, they can't wait till the very, the very last minute, it's a bad deal. You know, they better, if there's any mercy of the Lord for an eternity, they better do something quick, very quickly. And they better show it by their actions very quickly. Anyway, because they will bow down before the executioner. They may lose their lives, but maybe there'll be some mercy for eternity. But the point is, this is what it's talking about in Isaiah 65, is the judgment being brought down on these enemies. For when I called, you did not answer. When I spoke, you did not listen. You deliberately sinned before my very eyes and chose to do what you know I despise. Think Epstein Island. Think of all the horrible things they've done to children. Think of the satanic sacrifices. This is the Baal worship that we're talking about, that these people have done this. And they knew knowingly this was evil, right? The Lord called on them to stop such an evil thing, and they refused because they were saying, we're running this world. Fools. The fool has said in his heart, there's no God. We can do whatever we please. Satan is stronger than God. People are fools, literally fools. You deliberately sin before my very eyes. They did these things to the most innocent because they know that it makes it even worse. And then they also did this in sacred places, like in temples, like in churches. They did this on the altar of God demonic evil to the Lord. You chose to do what you know I despise. Therefore, this is what the Lord says. My servants will eat, but you will starve. My servants will drink, but you will be thirsty. My servants will rejoice, but you will be sad and ashamed. My servants will sing for joy, but you will cry in sorrow and despair. Okay, let me just tell you something. They have gleefully enjoyed our suffering. They were really, to be honest, they were hoping that there would be even more suffering in the time of the COVID. And when they were disappointed that we weren't suffering even more, they were wanting this to wipe out giant swaths of humanity, and it didn't happen. And so they were sad about it. And so they've been gleefully enjoying our suffering, whether it's through cancer or poverty or all of the fighting, and you can't go out in the streets. It's so dangerous. All these things, they've enjoyed that. They've enjoyed the mayhem in the streets, and you can't ride the subway because for fear of all these things. They've just enjoyed that. But now the Lord says, okay, that was your time to harm God's people, to harm my people. But now they're going to have beautiful days. They're going to have plenty to eat, and you won't. They will have plenty to drink, and you won't. That's really what hell is lack of everything. No blessings. There's no blessings. There's no food. There's no water. There's no nothing. It's your misery. My servants will rejoice, but you'll be sad and ashamed. Ashamed. The offscouring of the earth, the public shame, the public mockery for all the world to know who these people are and what they've done. And they will be brought to open shame before the world. And for all eternity, they'll know that they are the ones who are the shame of the earth. Forever. It's bad. I mean, it's like the worst thing. Worst thing anyone could ever receive. But they chose this. They chose this knowingly. They made a deal with the devil on purpose. And you see some of these people, they're still just like that. They're just hardened in it. And that's the problem when you make a deal with the devil. And if the devil is controlling someone, then it's bad news. You know, we're controlled by the Holy Spirit. They're controlled by demonic spirits. It's just bad news. It's a bad deal. We will rejoice and they will be sad and ashamed. My servants will sing for joy, but you'll cry and cry and cry and cry and cry in despair. despair that they know that they will never, never get out. Despair is where you have no hope. Even as Kathy O'Brien was telling me when I interviewed her, you know, even when she was being tortured and harmed, she knew that there would be a better day. There was always that hope that one day there would be a better day. And that thankfully that day has come. But for these people, they will never have a hope for a better day. There will be no hope, just complete despair. Your name will be a curse word among my people, for the sovereign Lord will destroy you and will call his servants by another name. All who invoke a blessing or take an oath will do so by the God of truth, for I will put aside my anger and forget the evil of earlier days. I will forget that my people, our ancestors, had done this Baal worship. I will forget their sins. But for these who have refused to repent, I'll remember their sins. It's huge. All right. So that is through verse 16. So the question is, you know, what does he say to them? That there'll be no hope, that they will be punished, and they will never have any mercy. They'll only have despair. This is what the Lord is promising to them, and he will make it happen. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. Okay, there you go. There you go. There is Isaiah 65. Now, the last chapter of Isaiah 66. Again, I talked about this. It's knowingly, deliberately, and without repentance. Okay, now here's the question on this one. Okay, just look at our amazing, bright, beautiful future. Look at Isaiah 65, 17 through 25. Okay, actually, you know what? We're going to do some more of 65. Hang on. I forgot about that. We're going to do 17 through 25. All right, and so the question on that one is, it contains one. Tammy couldn't be here tonight, today, so it's, I'm preparing for a trip, so she couldn't be here. I'm doing this ahead of time. All right. So anyway, Isaiah 65, 17 through 25 contains one of the best promises, and we quote it a lot. What are some of the promises in this passage? Patriots. Okay. So this is starting with verse 17. Okay. Look, I'm creating new heavens and a new earth, and no one will even think about the old ones anymore. Be glad and rejoice forever in my creation. And look, I'll create Jerusalem as a place of happiness. God's the city of God, wherever you are. You can live in China. You can live wherever you want to live. But it'll be the city of God. It'll be a place of happiness. Everywhere on earth will be a place of happiness. Her people will be a source of joy. I'll rejoice over Jerusalem and delight in my people. The sound of weeping and crying will be heard in it no more. Now, this is not about heaven on earth. That's for after the Gog and Magog battle. This is for the millennial kingdom. Because during the millennial kingdom, there is still death. People live a lot longer and healthier lives, but there's still death. And that's how you know that it's talking about the millennial kingdom here. Because you look in verse 20, it says, no longer will babies die when only a few days old. No longer will adults die before they've lived a full life. No longer will people be considered old at 100. Only the cursed will die that young. It's not really saying that they're cursed. It's just saying it'll be so unusual for someone to die at 100. They're like, what happened? How could they die at 100? They were only 100 years old. It's going to be so different. We'll have to really change our way of thinking, expand our thinking a lot, because we'll live long, long lives like they did before the flood. They lived, some of them, 900 years. And healthy, energetic lives. I was going to post a video. I don't think I did it yet. I was going to post a video of Bella where she's running like wide open, having energy you won't even believe. This is what we'll have. Everyone will have this kind of boundless energy. It says, no, and babies won't die. It'll just be so rare for something like that to happen. No one will die before they lived a full life. You know, the things that we have considered normal, that people die, you know, before 100, is not going to happen in the golden age. That's what I go into in this, my new book, and in the golden age. And I talk about the longevity, the life extension. I talk about, you know, just the peace, the security, the safety, the joy, the unity, all this is going to happen. In those days, people will live in the houses they build and eat the fruit of their own vineyards. Imagine that. That you will work and you'll be able to have the proceeds from your work, from your labor. Imagine that. Unlike the past, invaders will not take their houses and confiscate their vineyards. Yay! Praise the Lord for that. For my people will live as long as trees, and my chosen ones will have time to enjoy their hard-won gains. We've talked about these verses many times. Like I said, we've quoted these a lot. I think you guys probably have them memorized by now because it's very, very good news. So we'll live as long as trees, hundreds and hundreds of years, life extension in the golden age, and we'll have time. We won't work, and just barely just work and then get home to sleep and get a shower and go to sleep and turn around and go do it again. No, we'll actually be able to enjoy our work and, you know, be able to do things where we actually can have time to enjoy our life and enjoy each other. They will not work in vain. Their children will not be doomed to misfortune, for they are people blessed by the Lord. Their children too will be blessed. I will answer them before they even call to me. While they are still talking about their needs, I will go ahead and answer their prayers. There's no waiting. You know, in this church age, it's just been like we've had to wait for the answers to come, not in the golden age. We won't have to wait during the golden age for our answers. I will answer them before they even call to me. The wolf and the lamb will feed together. The lion will eat hay like a cow, and but the snakes will eat the dust. I'm going to write this down because I want to answer. I want to put that into the. I think I have it in the golden age book, but the prayers answered before we even ask them. I put so many things in the book. I don't know if I'd put that. I want to make sure I put that because that's a big one. That's a big one. No more waiting on answers to prayer. How about that? Can I get an amen on that? In those days, no one will be hurt or destroyed on my holy mountain. I, the Lord, have spoken. And so what that really indicates is that the reason some of these prayers have been delayed is because there's been a bigger purpose that he was trying to accomplish in the earth. And in the golden age, he won't be having to do that. There won't be any need for a delay on answering the prayers. And no one will be hurt. No one will be destroyed. No one will have to worry about riding on a subway. No one will have to worry about riding on an airplane. No one will worry about it having a storm, a flood, and all these different things. No one will be hurt or destroyed on my holy mountain. It's not just about in Israel or Middle East. It's about all the world is this mountain. If you remember, it says that the stone. Remember this one? It's this the stone that hit the Nebuchadnezzar statue, caused the entire statue to just crumble, and it became a huge mountain. That's the mountain of the Lord throughout the entire world. That's what it's talking about. The whole world is the mountain of the Lord, not just in one little small geographic location. And the other thing is, if you remember, our Lord Jesus talked about he says that my kingdom is like a nest that the birds of the air, a tree that the birds of the air build their nests in, and it's enough for all the people of the world to build their nests in this beautiful tree. It's a big old tree. That's a big old tree. All right, so that is Isaiah 65. Now let's do 66. Oh, let me see if there'll be no more crying, and babies won't die. No longer will babies die. No longer will adults be considered old at 100. No longer will the New World Order confiscate our possessions. Thank you, Lord. No longer will we work our lives away. No longer will our children struggle and suffer. The Lord will answer our prayers speedy, quick, and we will live as long as trees. All right. Now, this is the last one. This is it. Number 9, our millennial kingdom will be born. The Lord has not worked this long and this hard to let his kingdom, to get his kingdom to the point of birth for his kingdom not to be born. No, this is his kingdom. He will see it through to birth. The sign of the Son of Man, also known as the woman in labor, proves this is the day. Again, I'll show you this one. On melissaredpill.com, that's the sign of the Son of Man. He said, when you see this woman in labor, you'll know that you are at that time in history where this is happening. Okay, this is what we are witnessing. Okay. So then he says, it says this all throughout the Old Testament. Just look up woman in labor. Indicates that this is the end times for the wicked and 1,000 years of peace for us. Where do we see these promises in Isaiah 66? All right. So then we're going to read, chapter 66, 6 through 16. All right. What is this commotion in the city? What's this terrible noise from the temple? It is the voice of the Lord taking vengeance against his enemies. Remember, I was saying that these last chapters are about the beautiful future we have, as well as how the Lord will destroy our enemies. Gotta have both. Can't just have the, you know, they've got to be gone. Once they're gone, we can have all these beautiful days. Before the birth pains even begin, Jerusalem gives birth to a son. It's like, and I know it's felt like forever. It has felt like excruciatingly forever since we woke up and since Q started posting in 2017. And we've been fighting in this battle. We're like, come on, what is taking so long? But if you think about on the timeline of history, this is just not even a blip. It's not even a tick on the second hand. It's that quick, if you think about it, okay? We've been waiting for this for that. Even when this was written, this was like 3,000 years ago. And so we've been waiting for this day to come. And now that's happening, and it's just like, it really is going quickly. And the timeline of history doesn't feel like that. I know, but it is. Okay, before the birth pains even begin, Jerusalem gives birth to a son. Who has ever seen anything as strange as this? Who has ever heard such a thing? Has a nation ever been born in like a single day? Like on the timeline of history, this is just like one day. You know, has a nation ever been born in a single day? Has a country ever come forth in a mere moment? Again, we are birthing the kingdom on earth where we will have these beautiful days that we talk about in this book, The Golden Age. It's just going to be fantastical. It's going to be a whole new world. It really will be. Has anything ever such as this ever happened? No. The answer is no. Nothing's ever happened like this. But by the time Jerusalem's birth pains begin, her children will be born. Would I ever bring this nation to the point of birth and then not deliver it? Asked the Lord. No, I would never keep this nation from being born. Of course, he's been working toward having his kingdom come and his will be done on earth as it is in heaven for so long. He's ready. He's chomping at the bit like a horse pawing at the starting gates. There's a verse that says, and I've long been silent, but now I will pant and groan like a woman in labor. This is what the Lord says. He's like, I'm ready to get this baby born, get this kingdom out, and let's make it happen. Rejoice with Jerusalem. Be glad with her, all you who love her, all you who mourn for her. All the people who've been just like, please, Lord, this is just too awful what we've experienced. And so rejoice, everyone in the world. Drink deeply of her glory, even as an infant drinks at its mother's comforting breasts. No worries, just relaxing and just in the lap of luxury. Like, yay, I get to enjoy this and I get to enjoy that. And I get have peace and wealth and health and just enjoy and rejoice that this is happening. So even though we haven't seen it completely fulfilled, we know we're at the door. We know we're at the door of it. And so just get ready. This is going to be amazing. And we now are starting to see these people being subpoenaed, and it's the hammer's falling. Really, really exciting. Anyway, this is what the Lord says. I will give Jerusalem a river of peace and prosperity. The wealth of the nations will flow to her. Her children will be nursed at her breasts, carried in her arms, and held on her lap. I will comfort you there in Jerusalem as a mother comforts her child. So, in other words, we're not going to be in this terrible plight. We will be comforted and we'll be protected and we'll be just have everything in the world we could ever want or need. When you see these things, your heart will rejoice. You will flourish like the grass. Everyone will see the Lord's hand of blessing on his servants and his anger against his enemies. They'll see both. That we are the blessed of the Lord and they are the cursed because they sided with demons. See, the Lord is coming with fire, and his swift chariots roar like a whirlwind. Love that image. He will bring punishment with the fury of his anger and the flaming fire of his hot rebuke. The Lord will punish the world by fire and by his sword. He will judge the earth and many will be killed by him. He's talking specifically, though, about the demon worshipers. Okay, when it says the world, it's those who are worldly, the people who are in league with the worldly demons, the evildoers. Okay, he will judge the earth and many will be killed. It's not indiscriminate. It's about specifically the demon worshipers. And he will bring this punishment. And the hot rebuke is that they know why they are being punished. They're being punished specifically for these evil sins of joining in league with the demons to harm humanity. All right. That was it. So the answer to the question is, Where do we see these promises? It reminds us that just as the beautiful sign of the Son of Man, the woman in labor that I've shown you many times, this one right here, this is a beautiful sign of a woman in labor, that we will have this kingdom born. We're witnessing this, the birth. The Lord asks if he would ever bring his kingdom to the point of birth and then not deliver it. Of course not. Of course not. He's been preparing for his kingdom on earth for thousands of years. No doubt he will have his kingdom born on earth and protect us as a mother protects and comforts her child. The Lord will surely keep this promise. That's it. We did it. We did it. We did it. I'm so proud of you. We all did it. We did the wonderful the study of the major clues for minor prophets. I love this. Don't you love this book? I'm so thankful to have the minor prophets explained to us. And that's what I say in the epilogue. I'm so thankful the minor prophets are no longer hidden books. The Lord has opened our eyes to them, what they're doing. Because once we understood who our enemy is, it all made sense. I'm so thankful that we're awake to experience this and to fight in the battle of Armageddon and to see his kingdom come and his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. All right, that's it. That's everything. I guess the next thing is that we'll be working on a study guide for this one, the Golden Age. But so that's your homework, is to work on studying the Golden Age. And you can, like I said, you can read it in any order you want. You can do the Golden Age of Unity, if that's your favorite one, or the Golden Age of Christ the King, where you see how he's going to rule and reign on this earth. I mean, just so many wonderful things to look forward to. And I'm gonna look and make sure I have all these things in there. I'm probably gonna have to add to it. There's just so many wonderful things that we have to look forward. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love him. So, all right, let's pray. Thank you so much, Lord, again. Thank you again for helping us to see all these wonderful blessings from these minor prophets. Thank you for speaking through them to us thousands of years later. And we just ask you to go and just tell them thank you, that they did a good job. And we really like what they had to say. And we are really thankful to you, Lord, that you fulfilled your word. They thought you would never do it, that you would never bring down the hammer, but they were wrong. They were wrong. You are faithful to your promises to bless us. And you are faithful to keep your promise that you will bring down vengeance upon your enemies. And you're not playing. And we're just thankful to be on the side of the righteous, that you are saving us, rescuing us, ransoming us, redeeming us from our enemies. And we have just the absolute amazing days to look forward to, and the just amazing joy that we will experience on earth. We thank you for that. We pray this in your wonderful name, King Jesus, the King of the world. We cannot wait to see every knee bow and every tongue confess that you're the Lord. We cannot wait to see you and to recognize you, and for everyone to recognize that you are the Lord, and for everyone to know you, and for the whole world to be righteous. We cannot wait. We just, until then, we just pray you just help us to stay in the fight and to until we see the great day of victory. We pray all this in your wonderful name, Jesus. Amen. Super quick, I wanted to tell you one other quick, super quick thing. In the heavens, there is this the right beside Taurus the bull, there is the shepherd. His name is, I think it's Auriga, and he's holding a little baby goat. And the little baby goat is in his arms, and he's looking over at Taurus. Maybe he's looking this way, whatever way he's looking. He's like, oh dear, the
the Taurus, the bull, is serious. He looks scary. And the shepherd's like, it's okay. Of course, Jesus is the shepherd too. He's the shepherd. He's the champion, Orion. He's also Taurus the bull. He's so many of these beautiful signs in the heavens. He's all these. But as much as he comforts us, he is a terror to our enemies. How about that? All right. I think that's it. I think that's it. We've had a great time as always. I love you guys. And I will see you on Sunday morning at 11 a.m. Central. And we will play the little bit here. And I will talk to you. I didn't tell you. Did I tell you I love you? I do. I really appreciate you. I'm so glad that we are here together and in this great day of battle. I'm so glad. Miss Tammy being with us, but we'll have her next time. All right. I love you guys. And I will talk to you later.
Grow dark and the stars no longer shine. The Lord is at the head of the column. He leads them with a shout. This is His mighty army, and they follow His orders.